just it's especially great to have you here today. And I hope everyone's summer is going well. We've had a great summer, done some fun things. It's also been a busy summer in the Price household. We've been doing some projects around the house, just getting our house ready to put on the market to sell. Number of projects. Who's done some projects around the house this summer, either indoor, outdoor? You consider a project. Yeah, gosh, most of you. Yeah, so either minor or large project. Yeah, we've been doing that too. So I'm off to the hardware store frequently. You know, there's a little Ace Hardware store in Sultan, and then, of course, there's Lowe's, where I seem to spend a lot of time at. And, I'm not the greatest fix-it guy. I'm just trying to make it work, and hopefully I don't make it worse. Nonetheless, I've been at Lowe's a number of times this summer, and I've had some rather interesting visits at Lowe's in Monroe. I'll just share with you today as we get cranked up in our time here together. A couple of months ago, we had some friends of ours at our house, the Scouts. They live in Spokane. You know, we're the godparents there, three little boys, and you know, a lot of people in our house run around, you know, little boys, our family, we're all hanging out. And there were some things I needed to get done, some things I needed to pick up, work on the house. So I decide I'll take Weston, who's their six-year-old son, the youngest. You know, he's kind of running around under everyone's feet, running around. So I thought, hey, Kim, the mom, I said, hey, you know, what if I just take Weston to the hardware store with me? I'll kind of get him out of here. We'll go for a treat and take him to the hardware store and go do our thing. Awesome, great. So I took Weston with me. We go to Lowe's, get some things, put in the cart. We're in the checkout. And Weston, great, awesome, gregarious kid, never met a stranger kind of child. And did I say he has a loud voice? He has a loud voice. And so we're there. I'm in the checkout stand. It's kind of a brief moment as I'm kind of getting processed. And Weston, in a very loud voice, proceeds to look at the checkout person, point at me, and say, he's not my daddy, but I'm having a sleepover with him tonight. I can feel the heat of the stare at the person at the cash register, and I'm thinking, how do I get out of here? And am I on camera? Fortunately, a few people over here, because Weston said that very loudly, just started laughing. The cashier finally clued in and had a nice time letting her know, yeah, I've got four kids, he's my godson. You know, I'm like trying to do the whole tap dance because of what Weston said. And yeah, I made a beeline for the exit. So if you need help getting out of Lowe's in a hurry, I'm the person to talk to. I wish that was the end of my stories at Lowe's this summer. Doing home project, I'm restaining. We have a large deck. It's red. It's kind of a barn red, very bright. So I've been restaining it, kind of getting it cleaned up again. And, I ran out of a gallon of stain. So what do? You need another gallon. You go back and say, hey, I need another one of these to make sure, right, make sure you get the same exact match. So I had a few other things I need to pick up at Lowe's here in Monroe, and so I said, hey, you know what, just go ahead and match this. Take your time, 20 minutes, I'll be back. I got some other shopping to do. I come back. There's my old can, you know, with the stain on the side of it, the empty, and then the new can that they just mixed for me. Awesome. Time to go pay. So I look at the check stand where the people are working, and the line's pretty long, right? It's pretty long, so I thought, well, what do you do when that happens now? Where do you go? You go self-check, absolutely. So hardly anyone over in self-check at the moment, so I go over there and paying for my things, and I have this gallon of stain I need to pay for. Well, they put the label on top of the can. I'm thinking, this is kind of awkward, so I put everything down, and then what do? I'm notorious at Lowe's. I did that to go. I turned over the can, and that's what happened. Have you ever done something where, like, it happens quickly, but yet time stands still? I don't know. I always there's got to be some Einsteinian theory behind that. I'm watching it happen, and I can't control the events. And I'm like, I need some help. I really wanted to run screaming, and I was quite certain the same checker was going to be the one who saw me as a child molester. No, different person, fortunately. And I'm trying to explain, and they were incredibly cool. I'm talking about Lowe's because they have wonderful customer service. They're very helpful. Sir, not a problem. Just go on the rest of your shopping. I'm like, fine. Well, I snap a few pictures. That's them cleaning up the mess. It went everywhere. It's amazing what a gallon of paint can cover these days. Yeah, took some pictures. They said, no worries. And then the person there in the middle of the picture, wonderful woman, says to me, you really ought to take that gallon of paint and go back to the paint section and share with them what happened. So I thought, okay. So I did. That was a 50-foot walk, right? By the time I got there, the story had already crossed the aisle by that time. A woman kind of sheepishly said, yeah, that was me. She was new. I felt really bad for her. They didn't blame me. It was fine. A couple of days later, that was the register. I found it beautifully ironic that the color there was red. And to put a capper on this story, too, first of all, when you're pouring like that, the thought came to me, I am all in. Right? I am totally in. Last week, I was back there at the checkout stand. One of the employees recognized me, and she said, I'm not making this up. She says, you're the pink guy. She could have said, you're the molester guy. Could have been worse. So I said, yeah, I'm the pink guy, and I'm not making this up. She says, hey, guys, calling her other employees, this is the pink guy. And they come over, and they said, we got to let you know, after what happened to you, we had, like, new training on how to do paint. Well, I said, I'm just so happy for you all. And as I walk out, they said, don't feel bad. You're a great employee. And I get a round of applause as I'm walking. When's the last time you get a round of applause walking out of Lowe's after ruining, which I'm sure is a many, many, many $1,000 machine. But I did have that thought that, you know, I was all in. That wasn't my choice, certainly. But I was all in. That's called pouring out, pouring in. And I want to talk a little bit about that today, what it means for us at Adventure to pour out, to be all in with our community. But first, I need to pray. God, thank you, Lord, so much for your love. Thank you so much for your grace, your mercy, all the blessings you provide us. Thank you, God, for just an amazing church we call Adventure, God, filled with people who love you. And God, you love us way more than we could ever possibly imagine or fathom or love you back. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here together in your name in a free country that we have. Thank you, God, for our pastor, our leadership, God, and just continue to bless them, enrich their lives. And God, speak to me. Lord, whatever words I speak, God, have them be yours, because I cannot do this. Lord, I just pray that the words that would land on everyone's ears today, Lord, that it would just go to all of our hearts for what you're given to us. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So, yes, so we're talking about contagious Christianity and being all in today, and we're going to look at three things. And before we get to that, I want to read or back up a little bit what Randy talked about the last couple of weeks, and in Joshua and stepping in, and that's kind of our word picture that we're using. So I'm going to read Joshua 3, and then we're going to begin to unpack some things. So let's just rock. It's not on the screen. I'm just going to read it to you, so you visual people will have to turn on your auditory switch just for a few moments. Joshua 3, the Lord said to Joshua, beginning today, I'll show the people that you are their leader, and they will know that I'm helping you as I helped Moses. Now tell the priests who are carrying the chest to go a little way into the river and stand there, says the Lord. Joshua then spoke to the people. Come here and listen to what the Lord our God said he's going to do. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and all these other ites, I'm sorry, I'm not going to read them all, and the Amorites and the Jebusites control the land of the other side of the river. But the living God will be with you and force them out of the land when you attack. And now God is going to prove that he's powerful enough to force them out. Just watch the sacred chest that belongs to the Lord, the ruler of the whole earth. As soon as the priest carrying the chest deep into the Jordan, the water will stop flowing and pile up as if someone had built a dam across the river. The Lord also said that each of the 12 tribes should choose one man to represent it. The Israelites packed up and left camp. The priest carrying the chest walked out in front until they came to the Jordan River. The water up the river had risen over the banks as it often does in the springtime. But as soon as the feet of the priest touched the water, the river stopped flowing and the water started piling up on the town of Adam and near Zarethan. No water flowed toward the Dead Sea, and the priest stood in the middle of the dry riverbed near Jericho while everyone else crossed over. What a powerful story of people stepping in faith and God creating a miracle. Amazing. This last week, Randy sent us all a letter, just kind of one of his weekly letters that we get, and it was so good and so powerful. I just want to read part of it to you, what Randy said, and kind of a wrapping this section up here. The point, he says, It's critical to remember from this story, because God's looking for people of faith willing to risk him and step out. God will bring the miracle after you step into the water. And I think he says the converse is true. If we're not seeing miracles, maybe it's because we're not stepping out. And I thought that really struck me. Today we're going to take a look at three things in being all in with contagious Christianity as it relates to the context of engaging our community and bringing the hope and the restoration of Christ. The things we're going to talk about, I think to be required to be contagious for our community is have a resolute spirit, an uncommon love, and be burdened with a boldness. That's what I want to talk about today. And then next week, we're going to get into a little bit more practical application. We're going to look at some low-risk, high-reward things we can all do to engage our community with the love of God, both as a at the corporate level, as a community, and also as an individual level, wherever you find yourselves throughout your week. Hello. There we go. The first one, resolution, stepping out with contagious Christianity, a firm and steadfast resolution to be community-minded. And for some of us, to be community-minded with a resolute, have a resolution about it, it might be a paradigm shift. For some of you, it might be a little bit uncomfortable for some of you. Some of you, I'm all over that. I'm totally resolute to connecting with the community. Awesome, continue doing that. So some of the rest of us may be over here thinking that kind of like freaks me out. It's a little bit of a challenge, and that's okay. We're all going to learn and grow together, and I frequently, most of the time, actually find myself in this camp, so I'm right there with you. Something fascinating I read a few years back, I work for a local city, I work for the city of Everett, and so every once in a while I read really weird magazines like Planning Magazine, which I'm sure none of you have ever read in your life, and don't bother except occasionally they come up with some really bizarre articles like this one. About a particular community I think is really fascinating in the Netherlands. The article in 2011 Planning Magazine about a community in Netherlands, they adopted a new community slogan. A city did, a whole community, and this particular community in the Netherlands, about the size of Redmond, so a rather large town. They decided, and just hold your collective breath for just a moment, they adopted the slogan that they were going to, quote, go naked. Now, before anyone goes running and screaming out of the building, or Pastor Randy grabs me and throws me off the stage, let me explain to you what they did. That was the phrase they used. It's a little bit different than what's probably coming, well, definitely different than what's coming in mind right now. They did something absolutely stunning, unbelievable to me. I had to do some further research, and I think really has some lessons for all of us to unpack. This is what they did, what they called going naked. They decided, their slogan, they decided to get rid of all their traffic signs and traffic signals because they had so many accidents in their community, so many injuries and deaths and traffic accidents. They said, well, let's just do the opposite. Let's get rid of all traffic signs and all traffic signals. They did it. What do you think happened to the rate of accidents after that? Did it go up? How many think it went up? Take a stand, people. Okay. How many think it went down? Yeah, it went down by 90%. I had to like re-research that to make sure what we were reading. But yeah, it went down by over 90%. As we unpack it, I think you'll begin to see why. They interviewed folks in the community. What's going on? There are so few accidents. There were no more deaths during this time. Now, they've since added some traffic signs and signals, but nothing like it was before. But when they completely eliminated them, there weren't any deaths for that period from traffic-related fatalities. Accidents went down by 90%. And they surveyed the residents, and here's what they said. One person said, I realized I had a personal responsibility for myself, others, and the greater community as a whole. People started taking personal responsibility for others around them. Interesting. The next quote, it really forced me to be other-centered and resolve to be more focused on other drivers and pedestrians. That's another resident. So you see, they took their perspective off themselves and began putting it on others, and it transformed their community. It seems completely counterintuitive to all of us, but that is what happened. You see, they became more community-minded when it became an imperative. And so I look at us, I look at here at Adventure, for all of us, for me, What paradigm am I after to be counterintuitive so I could be all in with the community to help me be more other-centered? I think it takes the resolve. It really does. It really does. Resolve, it's a noun, firm determination to do something. How many have made a New Year's resolution at least once in your life? Okay, we all have. The rest of you are liars, but there's grace in that. I'll give you a break. I have. And I came across an article in Men's Magazine last year. They had the top 10 resolutions all men should make for the coming year. A couple of them are really stupid. A couple of them are really good. You decide for yourself. Number 10, a guy this next year should build a shelf. Hello? Really? Yeah, what they said is, in other words, learn a practical skill that's useful in the home. Oh, I get that. Number 9, read a big book. They didn't really quite explain that one to me. They thought reading a big book would be really important. So big, I'm thinking big pictures. That's me. My wife's a school teacher. She probably doesn't like hearing that. Get an appointment for a medical checkup as soon as possible. Get career counseling was number 7. Number 6, have more time for hobbies. I like that one. Number 5, I hate, do the 90PX. Have you heard of that? It's a workout thing? Yes. I don't believe that's from the Lord. Number 4, increase your savings account by 10%. I like that. Conquer a fear. By the way, this is a freebie. Do you know that 90% of the new things you try, like a hobby or skill, you'll do before your 16th birthday? In other words, adults try new things really rarely. So I understand that one. Conquer fear, try something new. Number 2, visit a new place or a destination. I like that. And the one that really caught my eye, and probably the reason I put it in there, is the number 1 resolution for men for 2013 was this: get involved in your community in some capacity. That struck me. There's your resolutions. You want to take notes on that one? That would be fantastic. So I think being resolute and reaching our community for the love of Christ is absolutely important. I think that's the number 1 thing we want to do. Be resolute. Galatians 6:9, Paul is writing here. He says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season you will reap, if we do not give up." That's called a resolution. That's being resolute. If we do not. So Paul's writing to the Galatians concerned enough for them that they might give up, or he wouldn't have written that. Do not give up. Be resolute. 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. That's the consistency. He's kept his eye on the proverbial ball. That's about Paul being resolute. Over and over in Scripture, we see that. Stay with it. God's not done here. He has so much more planned for us. I really enjoy history. My wife and I enjoy history, especially U.S. history, and things regarding the Civil War. I think someone who had a very resolute spirit was Abraham Lincoln, being the president during a Civil War. I mean, and then for him to be so focused on keeping the Union together and wanting to end the war as quickly as possible. And this is, General Sheridan wrote Lincoln, and near the end of the war, and General Sheridan, of course, a Union general for Lincoln, in talking about the war and finishing off the war and finishing off Robert E. Lee's army, essentially, he says this, and quote, "If the thing is pressed, I think that Lee will surrender." What was Lincoln's immediate response? Press the thing. You see, it wasn't complicated. It was about moving forward with the goals they had set out. If you need to do the thing, then what do? You do the thing. And I think, I don't know about you, but sometimes for me, connecting with members in the community, connecting with my neighbors, I can do a lot of gymnastics around that. But some good reasons not to. When really it's about pressing the thing, at least for me. What can I do? We'll talk more about this later, certainly more next week. But being resolute, pressing the thing, as a Christ follower, reaching our community, either corporately or as an individual. So we're talking about, number 1, having a resolute spirit. Number 2, at least for me, and what I felt like God put in my heart this week and planning for this, I really believe it requires an uncommon love for others. Did you know what love does? It compels. If you're a parent, think about your kids. You love them, it compels you to action. Provide for them, take care of them, maybe even pray for them. Love compels. And I came across one of the most amazing stories I've ever read, what the simple act of love how it can change a generation. John Hopkins University, if you remember that, one of the leading research institutions in the world, years ago, this is close to 30 years ago, they did a 25-year study on youth in the inner city of a particular neighborhood, which yielded some fascinating findings. I'm going to read to you this, and you'll see. A John Hopkins University professor asked his graduate students, this is close to 30 years ago now, to locate 200 boys ages 12 to 16, and then to research their family backgrounds. The assignment was to predict their future based on demographics, family history, things of that nature. The research students were sent to the poor area of a particular city to find the boys. The conclusion reached by the graduate students of studying these young boys was that 90% of those researched would, at some point in their life, spend time in jail. Sad, sad prediction. However, the final chapter of the study would not be completed until 25 years later. When the original 200 students were sought after 25 years later, John Hopkins again sent the researchers into the same neighborhood once again. Some of the group still remained there. Others had moved away. A few had passed away. In all, they were able to locate, however, 180 of the original 200. What they found amazed them. Only four of that 200 had ever spent any time in jail at all. What caused this figure to be so low when all the indications pointed to a larger number? When the researchers began to ask the question, they found that they kept getting the same answer over and over and over. Each one of them said, well, there was this teacher. Pressed further, the researchers found that the teacher in all the cases were one and the same. The boys had been influenced by exactly the same teacher those many years ago. Now the graduates and students got really interested. John Hopkins wanted to know, where was this teacher? They traced her, she's now living in a retirement home, and they went and visited her and inquired about her remarkable influence over a group of boys who were headed for a life of crime and prison. Was it her amazing lectures? Was it her writing assignments? Was it the field trips? Was it some amazing curriculum? What was it they wanted to know? When asked, she could only give this reply. She said, I just really loved my students. Wow. You see, it's not a program. It's not a particular approach. It really comes down to loving on people. Loving on people with the heart of God. I think Scripture speaks to this clearly. Contagious Christianity requires an uncommon love. Romans 13:8, owe no one to anything except to love each other. So God's saying the only debt we should have is the debt of loving each other. That really hit me this week. We're not to be in debt. The only debt we should have is to be to each other in love. Wow, what a charge. Galatians 5:13, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So in Christ, we have tremendous freedom. He says, don't thwart it on things that are of the flesh, but serve and love another. If you're going to do anything with your freedom, do that. And then lastly, 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. I think it's very, very clear. So just to recap, I think we need to have a resolute spirit. We need to resolve that we're going to do something as an individual, as Jeff as an individual, as you as an individual, and then as a church. Secondly, we need to have an uncommon love that can only come through the power of God. And then lastly, buy into boldness. I think for me, at least, one of the most challenging things for me in this whole regard is to have a heart of boldness. One thing I found over and over and over, though, guys, is that any time I pray for God to give me boldness in a situation that I need it, He's never let me down. And I have been really reticent to say something, say, God, give me the boldness, which usually, when He does, he always gives me the right words too. But anytime, be careful, I dare you, I triple dog dare you. I went right for it. Pray for boldness, and you're going to be amazed what God's going to do. He really is. So I really think the town in the Netherlands can be instructive for us. Being bold in their vision empowered them to be community-minded. It was counterintuitive. They went for it, and it changed their community. What about us? What about our community? What about our community here at Adventure? What about then impacting our community, the rest of Duval and in the valley and beyond? What is our boldness going to be? That boldness will empower us if we rely on God to do that, but we need to pray for boldness. There's a few other things we need to do, too. For those in Christ, boldness begins with prayer. Acts 4:31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and all they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." Boldness follows prayer. That's what I take from that verse. Boldness, you need prayer to be bold. One of the most wonderful things I've been part of, most challenging things I've been part of, just ministry-wise for me, I was part of a team a few years ago here at Adventure. We did what we called Church in a Bar. Some of you might be familiar with that. We actually did services in the bar at the Twin Dragon when they were open. And it was a hoot. It was fun, very challenging. But it was really the most cool things that God worked through people's lives to receive Christ there. And a few of them are here as members at Adventure. And that's just testimony to the power of God, and it's awesome. And I've been asked, what was it? What happened that kind of saw some cool things go on there? And I'll tell you, I remember months before we even got started, a bunch of us got together and we prayed. We said, God, give us particular names. The names that come to our mind, we pray about people who need to be connected to that or to hear the love of God. Just give us some names so we can write them down and pray for them. I remember, I think the Remix were there. You guys were there. And just remember, I was thinking about this the other day with you guys. We're sitting on a bunch of us sitting on there praying and just writing down names. And it's amazing what can come out of that and the boldness God can give you and the heart, the uncommon love that when you do that because of prayer. So I don't know about you, but I got a number of people in my life that I just connect with that sometimes I've been really thinking about it. I mean, how many of you like the occasional latte? Come on. Fess up. Thank you. Okay. Less liars than last service. Okay. So some of you like to go to, a regular place you like to go, at least occasionally. Hello, right? We're creatures of habit. Come on. We are. I am. Whether you know it or not, you forming some type of relationship with a person who serves you coffee, be it Starbucks or anywhere else. Y'all go grocery shopping out of habit, the same place, Safeway, Fred Meyer. Do you have a place that you kind of typically go? How many of you over and over and over see the same people working there? How many of you go through the same checker line with the same checkout person frequently? Pumping gas. The gas station down here, I pump gas down there. We all do that. You see those people over and over. You see, those are connection points for all of us to demonstrate boldness with some uncommon love. And for me, boldness for me in those situations, I'll just tell you, I work for the city of Everett, I work in Forest Park, and at the bottom of the hills is Starbucks. And you can say that anywhere in the world, at the bottom of a hill, there's a Starbucks. Doesn't matter where you are. And in Starbucks, I go down there on occasion, honey, strictly for research. So I go there, and there's a college student there about my daughter's age. Her name is Sarah. She goes to Everett Community College. I know that she just got back from vacation. They went to Chelan this summer. She was telling me I know a little bit about just her family. I think she's number 3 out of 5 kids. And boldness for me, and this is just a couple months ago, I said, Sarah, is there anything I could pray for you this week? I'll just be honest with you. That took a lot for me to do. I was chicken. I gave myself the triple dare. And it felt great. She says, wow, no one's ever asked me that before. And she said, she asked me like to pray for her test that week. But that kind of opened a door. She knows at least kind of where I'm at. And for me, that was boldness. And so I think, and I've been thinking, what about those connection points that we all experience every week where we have an opportunity to bring the love of God? And we don't have to sit down and say, here's the gospel, right? But we can share the love, our love that God put in us with others in some really simple, practical ways that we're going to unpack a little bit more next week. Does that make sense? So everyone's still with me? Okay, I see a few heads nod. That's great. So, and I'll just say the love and war that Randy and Debbie talked about, that is an awesome invite. Because you know why it's an awesome invite? It's low risk, but it's high reward. Because you can invite your unchurched friends, unchurched couples, to come, and nothing weird will happen to them. I mean, we have that guarantee, don't we, Randy? Nothing weird. We're not going to do anything weird to them. These are practical truths from God that, you know, transcend culture. So it's an easy invite. Low risk, because you're not going to sit there thinking, I hope they don't say anything that goes strange. That's not going to happen. But high reward. You get the reward part, right? Helping marriages, getting connected to God. This is an easy invite, you guys, to invite the community to. Low risk, because there's nothing goofy we're doing. But high reward, because what is available and what is attainable. So that's my non-scripted plug for Love and War. But like I said, I think if you've gotten the theme from what I've been talking about, it really needs to be completely in prayer. It really does. I think we've stepped that. I love this quote from Oswald Chambers. He said, "We tend to use prayer as a last resort." But God wants it to be our first line of defense. We pray when there's nothing else we can do, but God wants us to pray before we do anything else. I love this quote by author Ted Becker. "Prayer is the most powerful tool mankind has." Think about it. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to connect with someone. You're not sure what to do. You can always pray. It doesn't hurt. Won't cost you anything. And you can still go get yourself a latte. So I think Jeff's going to be coming up here, and there he is. And so we're going to transition to some prayer time. Is that right? All right. Yes. Awesome, bro.
Thank you, Jeff.
For sharing your passion with us. And I agree, one of the best ways to step into sharing God with somebody in your routines throughout the day is ask how you can pray for them, because you're totally putting it out there for God to move on those prayers and them to see for themselves that God is real and living and cares about their needs. So it's a great opportunity. And there's some risk there. There's some stepping out, a little uncomfortable sometimes. But the more you do it, the more you see God come in and bless these people, you look for opportunities and you're looking forward to it. It moves from I'm kind of nervous to I'm looking forward to the next opportunity to ask somebody how I can pray for them. Love and War, like you mentioned, after the service, there's a table out there. You can grab a stack of business cards, stick them in your wallet, and when you get opportunities with the people you know, people you encounter, like you were saying, inviting to something safe, you can give them a card so that they have the information and they can remember when it starts and all that contact type information. So right now, we're going to, with a few minutes left that we have, we're going to break into groups and actually do what we're talking about. Recently, the youth had their youth retreat, and they went through the city, met a bunch of the business owners, and got specific prayer requests. How can we pray for you? Got specific prayer requests, which we have here. We're going to break into groups of like three or four, and we're going to give you those slips with those prayer requests specifically for different businesses here in town. Are there any youth here who were on that retreat and went out and met the business owners? If you're here and you went out and got these requests, could you come forward up here, please? Going to ask you guys to help with this. So the rest of you are going to just turn around, you know, kind of form groups of three or four. If you're new, if maybe you're somebody who's not comfortable praying in a group out loud like that, this isn't a forced, you've got to go around the group and everybody has to have a prayer for these things. If a couple people in the group pray for a prayer point, that's awesome. You can agree with them in prayer. Maybe it's an opportunity for you to step out if you feel like, hey, you know, this is a little challenging for me, but I want to step in and pray out in this group time, then I encourage you to step into that as well. So we'll just let the Spirit lead that. Wow. So so every person here is going to give you half of a prayer request. And no, break into groups, and then what I want is for them to come and find groups with a couple prayer requests in hand and join you guys so you can pray with the people who went around and got these, okay? So you guys do your work and break into three or four, and I'll do my work of getting all these people slips.